Good morning, all. A good crowd, despite it being half term. I'm pleased to see. If you've got Bibles with you, please keep them open at that passage, Luke chapter 9, verse 17. I hope you've had a good half term. Weather's been a bit British, you know. At least we've had a bit of sunshine in the morning before it turned its usual grisly grey. But we've got summer to look forward to. It's on the horizon. We're looking forward to that. I do love this time of year. Cricket nets starting soon. Yep. You're warming up to, oh man, that's it. I mean, cricket widows of some of you. We are now continuing our latest in our My Mess, His Masterpiece series, where we've been following Jesus' encounters with a whole range of people and predicaments in the Gospel of Luke. For you Bible buffs out there, this famous miracle, the feeding of the 5,000, is the only miracle that's recorded in all four Gospels. And it's another display of Jesus' awesome power and lordship. Amen. It's so easy to just read these things because we're quite familiar with them now and to think, yeah, feeding the Father, But if you stop and think for a moment about what's just gone on, 5,000 people fed by a few morsels of food. And in the first eight chapters of Luke, we've already seen Jesus heal all manner of diseases, including leprosy, paralysis, blindness, and making a shriveled hand whole. We've seen him drive out demons and restore people to sanity. We've heard him pronounce forgiveness of sins. Who does he think he is? He has raised a dead girl to life. We've even seen him control the elements by commanding a storm. Jesus has healed by laying his hands on people, and he's healed by simply saying the word, commanding the word. He's achieved these things with power, but not with violence, with authority, but not with aggression or high-handedness. And he's achieved them without flourish or fanfare, but in simplicity, in humility, and in kindness. And now we observe another stunning miracle, the feeding of this crowd of 5,000 with five paltry loaves and two piddly fish. You know, there are times in life when it's appropriate just to stand back and applaud. Sometimes in sporting team, in terms, when your team is being given the complete runaround by the other team, you don't want that to be happening, but you just have to stand back and acknowledge. Well, this is not one of those situations. This is far, far, far beyond any of that sort of simple analogy. But it's appropriate when we see something like this that we just take a stand back. This is our God. This is our Jesus who can do these sort of things. So let's just pause for a moment and pray. Father, you are an awesome God. You are a God of such power. You control and you command the elements. You control nature. You control the universe. You are an awesome God of love whose heart is to save, whose heart is to heal. And Father, we just take this moment to step back and applaud and give praise and worship and awe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that was easy, wasn't it? I reckon that was 5 minutes flat. And that's job done. Shortest sermon that you'll hear in quite a long time. Well, if that was all that Christians were asked to do, was to stand back and applaud, well, that would be it. That would be indeed be job done. But it doesn't work like that, does it? We know it doesn't work like that. As Christians, we're not supposed to just stand back and applaud. Times for that, yes. But in the main, what we see over and over again through Scripture, for reasons best known to God himself, he wants us involved in his gospel. He wants us not just standing and applauding, but actively and deliberately hands-on involved in his gospel. And so I want us to call us back to that text, and in particular to the verse that I want to labour today, and it probably will be a labouring of this, verse 13. The disciples here have just outlined the scale of the problem. There is a vast crowd, a multitude. It's late in the day. They're running out of time. They have minimal resources. And Jesus says to them, you give them something to eat. You, You give them something to eat. You don't get it, Jesus. There's a vast crowd. It's late in the day. We've got minimal resources. And you can hear, I certainly sense when I read this, I could sense their exhaustion. And we've all been in situations like that, haven't we? Where you've put in your day's work, it's the end of the day, you're tired, you're a bit, you know, flogged out. The end is just in sight, and then another customer rolls up, or another problem arrives, or just as you're beginning to pack your stuff away, another scenario gets there. And I feel sense from the text here, this is exactly what's happening with the disciples. Oh, no, not again. And their heart is somewhat betrayed in verse 12, where they plead with Jesus, send the crowd away. Go on, you take care of it. Just send them away. And we already know that Jesus has the power, because he's demonstrated it through all these miracles. He has the power to click his fingers or to just make this thing happen, to just take care of it there and then. And so it's fair and logical, I believe, that because he chooses not to do it that way, but instead chooses to involve the disciples and chooses to lay this on the disciples and chooses to involve them in actually performing and undertaking this miracle, that he wants to teach them and us something beyond that. Fair? Reasonable assumption? 2 points for us today, then, as I think there were for the disciples then. The first is a challenge to our hearts. The second is a challenge to our faith. Now, I know you've been in half-term restful mode, but are you ready for the challenge? Because later on, you know, I'll come back to that. Well, I asked you and you said, yeah. Okay, here we go. First point, first challenge. We must have Jesus's compassion for people's physical needs. The disciples have already kind of given themselves away. Oh, no, look, it's too much. You take care of it. But Jesus calls us, and Jesus demonstrates, I believe, through this miracle, that he wants us to have his compassion. And he wants us to be involved in the same way. It's quite plain from reading and following Jesus' progress in Luke's account that he cares about people's physical needs at the same time as taking care or being concerned about their spiritual predicament, the condition of their souls. But Jesus clearly wants his disciples to have that compassion, his compassion. And so he says, you give them something to eat. Is this relevant for us today? This was a miracle performed, you know, several thousand years ago. Is it relevant for us today? Well, yes, because we still have hungry people in our world, don't we? 795 million people, approximately, in the world do not have enough food to lead a healthy, active life. That's about 1 in 9 people on earth. So the person at the end of every row hasn't got enough food to eat. Is this relevant for us today? Well, yes, because we still have hungry people in the UK. Nearly 100,000 people of the 100,000 of the poorest children in the UK went hungry last year, because their parents' benefits were stopped or cut at some point, according to a report by a coalition of churches. Is this relevant for us today? Yes, because we still have hungry people in Eastleigh. And the Basics Bank in Eastleigh fed 1,832 people during 2015 and over 11,000 since it opened in 2011. Maybe you feel like the disciples did then. Oh my goodness, you know, I can't handle that. The weight of that is too much. It's just, we see adverts on our TVs. There are constant appeals through the post. The whole time we're made aware of this. And it's very easy, is it not, to have compassion fatigue and think, I'm sorry, this is just too much. And yet, I believe Jesus is calling us to have his heart, where he somehow manages to get up and take on the challenge. For each of the sermons that we've had in this series, we've had a member of the congregation come and share a testimony that ties in to the particular encounter that we've been looking at in Scripture. But today we've got a bit of a break from that, and a bit of a difference. Our testimony is going to come from a dad who's been helped by the Basics Bank, something I hope that all of us are familiar with, that was featured some time ago on News South. How does it make you feel? Is it, I mean, if at some level, frequently, I get to that point where, oh, gosh, you know, I can't handle any more of this, or perhaps even judgment, you know, what got him in that situation in the first place, you know, why this or why that or why the other? Let me share a couple of scriptures with you that that challenges me and I think need to challenge us with regard to this compassion. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or with speech, but with actions and in truth. James chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? Jesus' admonition was, you give them something to eat. You. Whatever you're doing, and I bet you are doing something, maybe even a lot, to alleviate hunger in our world, our nation, our community, thank you and praise God. But please take a moment. Let God's compassion renew your heart. Don't let up. Consider doing something more. Consider what else you might be able to do. That was the first challenge. Jesus' heart of compassion. Are you ready for the second challenge? It gets a bit harder. It's even scarier than the first one. The second challenge is we need to step out in faith. Jesus challenged his disciples, you give them something to eat. You take responsibility for it. You kind of own this problem. You get involved. But he also challenged their faith because the maths in this situation doesn't add up, does it? Five loaves and two fish divided by a crowd of at least 5,000 people equals a crumb and a morsel each. Far from satisfying their needs, it would fill them with nothing but despair. So how can they make so little stretch so far? A program is not the answer here. A well-considered plan, which is what we like to kind of, you know, to do with things, is not going to do it. Jesus is looking for faith. He's looking for faith. Because faith is a portal. Do you understand that word? I was kind of wrestling with this, and it kind of, faith is a portal. Faith is like a doorway to opening up God's power. We can do a whole lot through our efforts. But faith is a portal to God's power. We're reminded about what faith is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. I think, Eastleigh Baptist Church, that we can do a lot of good works here in Eastleigh. I really do. I think that we can serve and we can support and we can bring light and love and hope into people's lives with our compassion and our generosity and our kindness. And I think we are. I think I genuinely, sincerely believe we are doing this as a congregation. And I think we should feel good about what we're doing with that. I think we're also called to keep on doing this until the proverbial cows come home. And it's good and it's right. But I don't think we're going to see miracles. I don't think we're going to see transformations, and I don't think we're going to see the sort of releasing from bondage that we witness here in Scripture unless we have faith. And unless somehow our good works and our good deeds, that we go beyond that. Having confidence in what we hope for is scary. We like to hope for things and keep them kind of under wraps, don't we? Isn't that how kind of we work? Or we just sort of, you know, mutter them as a hope. We don't actually set them out as a prayer. It's just a hope. Or it's a prayer that we kind of, you know, we sort of pop out there. Saying that we're confident in something, this is going to happen, that is scary, isn't it? That's risky. What if it doesn't happen? What are we going to look like then? Where is our faith left then? Where is our relationship with God left then if God doesn't answer our prayer? Tell you what, better idea just to keep it as a hope, isn't it? Better idea just to truck along and keep doing some good stuff and helping and serving and being kind and just don't stick our necks out. Hey, we are so used, I'm so used to doing things out of our own strength. We're so used to doing things with our own resources. And the result, when we apply our strength and our resources, is good things. And it's great. And I'm encouraged by that. But biblical faith is not just using our strength and our skill and our resources. It's somehow going beyond that. Way beyond, and relying on God. And I want to ask you to just reflect on what that means for you today. Because we're all in different places, we all have different experiences, we're all at different parts of our journey in faith or into faith. Perhaps you're not even there yet. But what would that mean for you today to increase your faith, to step out in faith, to go beyond your skill, strength, resources? As I was reflecting on this message and on these kind of scriptures, I'm sorry, I had to reflect and to say sorry, to confess that the vast majority of my work as your community minister, done on your behalf, has come from my strength, my skill, my resources, and the resources that have been given to me. And I believe that I've done some good things in my time here. And I please don't misunderstand me with any of this. I do not want to beat myself up. I do not want to beat you up. I do not want to berate you that you are lacking in faith. I think that we are a serving church. I think we're a giving community. I think we're a loving place. We're a welcoming place. And I give praise and thanks for all of that. And if that's all we ever do, well, I suppose, hallelujah, we've done a good and we've done a noble thing. But where's the faith? What about the faith? Jesus calls his disciples not just to have compassion, he calls them to have faith. And where are you today? Where are you today with your faith? Where is your faith? What are you faithful for? Where do you travel through that portal? Where you've exhausted your own resources, where you've used up all of your skill and your strength, and are then stepping beyond that into God's strength, because that is when I believe we're going to see the miracles. That is when we're going to see God's power truly at work in our lives, as I believe the disciples witnessed in Scripture. While we're reflecting on this, I want to go back a bit and make an appeal to our compassion. In addition to the fantastic local charities, one of which we saw the Basics Bank up there, and many of us will know the charity ARC, Ian Hayes Anderson, an ex-minister from this church, his charity New Hope works to provide households in the borough of Eastleigh with basic household items. Many households lack basic stuff. And New Hope, a little while ago, hosted a charity dinner here in Desborough Hall. And they are hoping to host another charity meal here in Desborough Hall in two Saturdays' time, on Saturday the 5th of March. The chef is going to be a lady that we've befriended, an Asian lady by the name of Nishat, who cooks a mean curry. And those of you who were here last time will remember that. It's a three-course meal. There's live music. I don't mean it's Chris Steggles on the triangle and me on the kind of, you know, on the tin pan. It's going to be a proper live, some live music. I would love you to come and enjoy and support this. I would love even more, whether you can make it or not, for you to buy a ticket for someone else, for someone perhaps who doesn't get out that often, for someone perhaps who's not got the means to go out, buy a ticket for someone else. I've got the tickets, please, I've got 26 of them left. I would love, because it's a local charity, because we're taking compassion on people, because we're supporting needy people in our areas, for us to get behind this. So please do come and see me for a ticket. Our Jesus is awesome, is he not? As we see the miracles that he can perform because of his relationship with the Father and with the Spirit, because he is God. But Jesus wants us to attend to the physical needs of those around us, but he also wants us to have faith in him, to go beyond, so that we might see his power, and not just ours, at work in our day. And when you will have sat, if you've been around church for any length of time, through many, many sermons, and you will have heard many, many calls and many, many pleas, and you would have sat there perhaps thinking, yes, that's right, that's good. But in my personal experience, unless we make a personal decision, okay, what am I going to do to change? What is going to change for me as a result of that message today? What is going to change? What am I going to do differently? How am I going to pray differently? How am I going to relate to people differently? Otherwise, it would have just been another message. Thank you very much, Toby. Jolly good undertaking your role as community minister. But we don't want that, do we? Do we not want to see God's power and God's miracles at work in our day? Do you believe in miracles? If we believe in God, surely we can believe in miracles. But we're not the miracle makers. Our God is the miracle maker. We're not going to create the miracles from our resources. It's going to come from our awesome God. In a moment, we are going to be able to join together around that communion table. And I want us to, as we do, to be thinking about the compassion of God for us and for his world. I want us to think about our faith and our response to that compassion. If I can invite the singers and the band to come up now, we'll be singing a song to prepare us for communion. 1724, Behold the Lamb.